The 21st century. 7.7 billion people, 41% unreached. 5 billion people in the 1040 window. 47 megacities, each with over 10 million people. And 1.6 billion Muslims, nearly a billion Hindus, and hundreds of millions of others without the gospel. This is Timothy Talks, Season 2, An Unfinished Task. Welcome to Timothy Talks Season 2, Missions, An Unfinished Task. I'm so excited that you're here as we are delving back into Timothy Talks. My name is Daniel Pentamone, and I'm normally joined in the studio with Matthew Risher, but he is not here today. He just recently got married and became my brother-in-law, so he's not present, but I'm going to be flying solo today. And what I've got for you today is some fascinating statistics on the world and the people who live in the world. Recently, I started to delve into learning about the statistics of the people in the world. Who are they? Where do they live? What are their lives like? And I am blown away by what I learned. And there is so much that I want to share with you. In fact, I don't even have time to do it all just today, so I may share some of these thoughts with you another time. But there are a lot of people in the world. And as Christians, our goal is to bring the gospel to all of them. The Bible gives us lots of reasons to go out there and to share the gospel with people. And we will get into some of those through this season. But what I also want us to do is to have a heart for these people. And that's why I want to highlight the people of the world today. So that we would have a burden. In other words, that we would stop just living the American dream. Stop just living our own lives focused on our 9-to-5 day jobs, where we come home, spend the weekend with the family, and everything's great in life, and get a vision of the people of the world. So I just want to delve into some statistics, and I'll start with a big one I'm going to throw out there, and that is the population of the world, 7.7 billion people. Just let that sink in for just a second. And I know that's hard to do because it's such a big number. How do you talk about 7.7 billion people? And at first it's just a number until you start to break it down. So some of the largest countries of the world, I think we think of America as a huge nation, and it is 327 million people. If you're an American, you're one of those. But we as a nation are a tiny nation in comparison to the two largest. China with 1.4 billion people, India with 1.3 billion people. What's really fascinating about this is that North America, all of the people in North America are only about 7 to 8% of the world population. Asia contains 59% of the world population. And I just recently heard the story of an Indian from India who was watching these videos about America, and he said, "Where are all the people in America? Where are they?" In India, if you step out of your house into the street, you are bombarded with people everywhere. In the United States, some places, there's a lot of people. But place like India, place like China, there are millions of people, and they're everywhere, and they're all around. And you go to other places in the world, like Nigeria. Probably as Americans, we don't think about Nigeria a lot as a major player on the world scene, and yet almost 200 million people in Nigeria. In that one nation, that one West African nation, or a place like Indonesia. Indonesia has 268 million people. We're talking about a nation that has almost the same population as the United States, and yet a far smaller region of the globe. It's just fascinating to think about these numbers, especially to compare some of these numbers to some of the states in the United States, just to try to put some things in perspective. So I live in the state of Missouri, And Missouri has about 6 million people. But then when you think about the size of the largest city in the world, Tokyo, Japan, 38 million people. What is that? Like, I don't know, I'm doing math on the fly right now, so like 6 times 6, I think 36 million people. You could fit my state into the city of Tokyo, Japan more than 6 times just to fill up that city with how many people there are in it. That is fascinating to me. And then you've got a place like Jakarta, Indonesia, 32 million people. It's the second largest city in the world, and we hardly hear about it here in America. Delhi, India, 27 million. Manila, Philippines, 24 million people. Now, this is more than just the city itself. This is the metro area. Seoul, South Korea, 24 million. Shanghai, China, 24 million. I mean, we don't even get to New York City until number 8 with 21 million people. Or, if you want to put this in perspective of another state, California has 39 million people in the state. 39 million, and Tokyo has 38. Now, I think of California as rather crowded, but you can stick almost everyone in California into one city in Japan. That is amazing. I mean, I don't know what to do with these statistics. They are so big. And to think that as Christians, we are called to share the gospel with these people, with the 38 million people who live in Tokyo, Japan, to share the gospel with the 1.4 billion people who live in China. Wow! I mean, this is not small work. This is work that should engage us, engage our hearts and minds. And the population of the world is absolutely exploding. You go back just to 1804, just the year 1804, and we had just hit a billion people in the world. It took us until 1927 to have 2 billion people in the world. So you go back less than 100 years, and there were only 2 billion people in the world. And now today, 7.7 billion people, and by 2024, we should have 8 billion people is the estimated number who will exist in the world. That is mind-boggling, and that puts a certain sort of emphasis on the fact that we need to get the gospel to the nations. But then where is this number going? I mean, what is happening in the world? So it's estimated that in the year 2030, there's going to be 8.6 billion people. By 2050, 9.8 billion, and 11.2 billion people in the world by 2100. You think about that. It's big now, but in the next 80 years, that's the time that your grandchildren will probably be alive in 2100. If the Lord doesn't come, 11.2 billion people in the world. You think there's a lot of people now? There are going to be more. Interestingly, just as a side note, I mentioned already how Asia is such a massive continent filled with people. But that trend is actually going to be changing. And I think that this is really fascinating that Asia is going to go from by far the largest number of people in the world, to in 2100, about 44% of the world population is going to live in Asia, 39% in Africa. And North America is going to shrink in the number of the percentage of people who live in it, down to 4%. So these two continents, Asia and Africa, are looking to a tremendous population boom. Whereas North America is still going to sort of be on the outskirts. Europe is only going to be 6%. So how do we as Christians take this knowledge? I mean, what do we do with these facts? These are huge numbers. How do you rightly understand what is even going on here? Well, give us a second, and we'll be right back to talk about this. If you're enjoying the Timothy Talks podcast show today, consider doing us a favor and give us a positive rating on iTunes. This way other people can hear the show too. And if you have a friend or family member who would enjoy this content, please pass it on. You can send them to www.timothytalkspodcast.com, or they can subscribe through their favorite podcast app. And we are back. So we have these fascinatingly large numbers. And what are we supposed to do with them as Christians? Well, I'll tell you what the world does with them. They look at them and they are scared. I mean, how does the world exist like this? And what happens if there's more people in the world? And so that's why for years and years, the world has been saying there's too many people in the world. There's overpopulation. At least a number of voices have raised this. And I remember hearing predictions that the world couldn't sustain a certain population level beyond certain points, of which we've far surpassed those points. But the world looks at this and they are scared. And as Christians, here's the good news that we can look at. We don't have to be afraid of this number. It's not a tragedy that the world is filling up with people. It is a wonderful thing that the world is filling up with people. Why do I say that? Because it's exactly what God told us to do. So if you go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And then listen to what God does right after he makes man and woman. And God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth." So what God does, he doesn't just make Adam and Eve, but then he says, "Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it." Isn't this fascinating? That the world is doing that. Humans are being fruitful and they're multiplying and they're filling the earth and they are subduing it. So if we want to have the same view of the world that God does, if we want to be really biblical in our thinking, we should be okay with this. This isn't a problem. In fact, it's rooted in the very reality that God made man in his image. And God wanted the God image bearer to be all over the world. Isn't this fascinating? God makes humans, and he makes them in his image, so they carry the image of God. And then he says, "I want you to fill the world with the image of God." So this is a great thing when the world is filled with the image of God. Now, a lot of people might say something like this: "Well, isn't the earth going to run out of resources? Or what if bad things happen? Or what if there's not enough food? Or what if there's this? Or what if there's that?" And to those things, we have to say, it's true that because of sin, there is a problem in the world. And there have been famines in the world, and there have been diseases in the world. But that's because of sin. That's not because man's doing a bad thing filling the world. So this is my personal opinion, but I believe, and I think that we can make a biblical case for this, that as long as mankind is filling the world and living in obedience to God, there's a blessing that comes with that. Hundreds of years ago, Europe was overcrowded, or so they said, and that was a major impetus in why a number of people came over to the New World, because there just wasn't enough land left in Europe. And yet now there are hundreds of thousands, millions more people who live in Europe than at that time. So what happened? Well, mankind was inventive, and we created new technologies, and we developed new methods of farming, with the result being that there's still enough to support us. There's still enough food. There's still enough room for the millions of people who live in Europe. And so every time that people have predicted that the world population could only reach a certain level, they've been proven wrong, because that God-given ability to be creative, to think, to use our minds, to do so in a way that honors God, It's blessed and it results in increase and it results in abundance. The point being, we don't have to be afraid, we don't have to be scared of what happens when mankind fills the world and subdues it. But an interesting thing, though, we all know that the world isn't perfect. It's not the same way that God created the world in Eden. Something terrible happened, and that sin entered the world. There was a fall. And so mankind, even though we're made in the image of God, that image has been distorted. It's been twisted, but you know what? It's not gone. We are still in the image of God, just not in the perfection of that image, we could say. But then Jesus comes along, and in Matthew 28, where he gives us the Great Commission, he said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." So what is Jesus doing here? He's doing more than sending his disciples out. You could almost say, well, you know, what Jesus really is doing is he's bringing humans back into relationship with God, the same God that made them. He's bringing them back to where they should be, rightfully worshiping the God who created them. And what does that do? But that, to some extent, that restores the creation. I mean, we're moving on a trajectory from we have the image of God to it's distorted, but now in Jesus Christ, that image of God is being restored. Or here's one way you could think of it. You are a real human being. And I am a real human being. But you know what we lack? We lack the fact that we're not really true human beings in the ultimate sense. We're not true human beings in who we are supposed to be. You think of how we were created to love God, to serve Him with everything that we have, to live all of life in intimate relationship with the God of heaven and earth. And let's be honest, we don't do that honestly to the extent that we want to. Even as Christians, it's not to the extent that we want, and how much more the world that doesn't have that relationship, that personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. So our problem is, that we're real human beings, but to some extent, you could almost say we're not the true human being that we were made to be. And Jesus is, and in the Great Commission, Jesus tells us to go and get other human beings to move towards that trueness of what it means to be who they're created to be. So Genesis 1, we're made in the image of God. Matthew 28, the world is called to the restored image of God. Isn't this fascinating? And so the wonderful thing then about looking at all of these numbers, these statistics of the people who live in the world, is that these people are being called to be the image of God, the true human being that they were made to be. And the church is called, go. This is your task. Make these people the true humans that they're called to be. Bring them into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Wow, fascinating stuff. So missions then is about the glory of God in the earth. It's about God filling the world with people who love and serve Him. Wow. Now that's the positive way that you can look at this. There's a negative way that you can take these numbers. And it is also true. And as Christians, we have to deal with it. And it is sobering. Because if you think about how many people, and I know this is putting a damper on the whole discussion, but I mean, really, we have to think about this stuff. We are called to be thinking people. We're called to love people, to love our neighbor as ourself. And you think about how many people are going to enter eternity. I already said by 2100, 11.2 billion people by 2100. But you know what? Those 11.2 billion people, most of them are not going to be the same people that you and I interact with today. So what that means is that by 2100, about over 7.7 billion people are going to enter eternity. That's right. 2100, in just that short gap of some 80 years, over 7 billion souls entering eternity. Are they ready? Do they have a relationship with God in Jesus Christ? Are they worshipers of the true God? And as Christians, I think we should absolutely be eager to do all of the change that we can in society, because we care for people in the present, in the here and now. But you know what? As Christians, we care for people ultimately, their eternal being, their eternal soul. The most important aspect about them, the realest thing. I mean, who you are, the essence of your being. What's going to happen? 7 billion people entering eternity. This is motivation for the church to be obedient to the gospel. Well, I mean, there are so many more statistics that I could share with you, and I would love to do so, but we're going to have to save that for another time, because this right here is enough to make you go home and chew on it and think, what is God doing? I mean, I don't know what God is doing. We don't know what God is doing, but what we do know is that God is out to glorify his name. And that's what we're called to do. And so, as we love to say here on Timothy Talks, high theology leads to high doxology. The more you know and believe about God, the more you're going to worship him. We've not dealt with a lot of explicit theology. We've been more dealing with statistics. But what we did see is that God is creating image bearers to go out into the world and be the image of God. And that means you and me. But not just ourselves to exhibit that image of God, but also to go into the world and to bring other people to be true human beings, the human beings that we were created to be. Well, we'll have to delve into this topic again. But in the meantime, thank you so much. We are so excited to be back. And I'm looking forward to when Matthew gets back here. We're going to have some great discussions. In the meantime, though, thank you for joining, and we'll be back next week. Thank you so much for joining us today on Timothy Talks. Timothy Talks podcast is produced by Daniel Pentamone and Matthew Risher. To visit Daniel's personal website, visit www.fromdanielsdesk.com. Again, that's fromdanielsdesk.com. And if you've enjoyed this episode, do us a favor. Pass it on to a friend. You can refer them to timothytalkspodcast.com or tell them to subscribe on your favorite podcast app. Thanks so much.